Good to see everyone this morning. We have a number that are ill and traveling and such. And your presence is always appreciated and grateful for it. It's just that when we have the numbers ill and traveling and such that we do have, that each of your smiling faces really helps fill in the spaces. Okay, well, a couple of you smiled anyway. There we go. Now we got some smiling faces. Good deal. All right. Many years ago, Abraham Lincoln made this statement as he proclaimed, as we'll just see his proclamation here, but something that we're familiar with, an event that we have just recently taken part in. He says, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God." And he made a few other statements there, and then he goes on and he then makes the proclamation about setting apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Now, Abraham Lincoln is not the first that proclaimed a day of thanksgiving. We find that many of the founding fathers, especially back in the Continental Congress time, that they actually proclaimed various days of fasting and sorrow for the sins of the people, as well as then days of thanksgiving. We find that George Washington had also proclaimed a day of thanksgiving, but Abraham Lincoln then made it that national holiday. In other words, an anniversary, an annual event, something that would take place each and every year. And as you can see from his proclamation, that he expected this then to be something that would be a reminder that we would think upon, how that we have been blessed, and not to go so many years and sometimes maybe decades, possibly, maybe a century, but hopefully not, but at least, at times decades, without thinking about this, that people get involved in their lives and not only just living them, but as he says, as we begin to have the choicest bounties of heaven, that it can then become aware that we're just enjoying life as well as just trying to, to plug through life. Now, I know that you may be thinking, "Now, Joe, are you a little confused? Isn't this what you intended to preach last week?" You do know that Thanksgiving has already happened, right? I can forget things, as you know. But I hadn't forgotten that. Now, if you remember, we'll go back real quick, that the title of this lesson is Following Thanksgiving Day. And so we look here and we realize that we have already had a good, satisfying Thanksgiving. Hopefully, we are full from turkey and ham and dressing and, all those amenities. I kind of like, the sweet potato, that comes with that, as well as, it depends on, just exactly what part of the country you're from, and you may not even, be familiar with either one, but, corn ferment or corn dressing, and I love that as well as, some dressing as well. We find that, we have done that, and that's good. We have feasted. And maybe, and I would say, considering my audience, that we could say that we were also thankful. And we thought about, how that this food and the abundance of it and the choice of, this food, meals that we don't just have on a daily basis and maybe not even on a weekly or monthly basis, that we had a great, great feast. But also, because maybe we can't do it every week and especially every day, but now that it's an annual event, that we can take some time off and be together with people that we haven't been together with, family and friends and such. That maybe it's been all the way since last year, maybe even 2 years, type of thing since we've all been together. As our families grow up and they start in their own families and they marry people that have families, and you don't get to do these things as frequently as you once got to do. And so anyway, we've had that time, and that's good. We would like to appreciate that. But as well, from our scripture reading this morning, we remember, here, lest when thou hast eaten and art full. I also talked about, your houses and your flocks and you've gotten your wealth. But we normally associate Thanksgiving with, we have eaten and we're full. And so, I've just selected that portion of it. But all those others also, are proper and apply in there. But God reminds, He says, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. And we know that ancient scripture reminds us of that. We actually know that our own experiences remind us of that. That not only can we get busy with worries, cares, and concerns, and those sometimes, cause us to not be as mindful of God, but usually those, will then at some point break us down and say, I need some help here. And then we become, mindful of God and remember Him and are seeking His help. But when things are great and things are wonderful and we are enjoying those, it can become much more easy to not take that time, not to pause, not to remember and consider how it is that we have enjoyed all these blessings, all these wonderful things. And God says, and forget that it hadn't always been that way. He says, you were in the land of captivity. You were in the land of bondage. And now, lest you forget that and that you're free and that you get to enjoy, your wealth and your prosperity, then we need to be remindful of that. And so Christians, should be the most thankful, even of all people. Everyone should be thankful, but we should be the most thankful because we have a God that has reminded us. We don't hear that proclamation being read either by, we don't hear it read by Abraham Lincoln, but we're not, reminded of it as someone reminding us of it every year as we have Thanksgiving Day. And so it can just easily just become, well, it's just another national holiday, and it's time we get together and not think about Thanksgiving, that we are in a time of Thanksgiving. And I'm not as concerned, as I say, about that day, but as I am as the practice of Thanksgiving in our life. God reminds us, like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, that in everything give thanks. And so it's not just, you hear this and we say this, not just Thanksgiving Day, but you see, as Christians, we are reminded by God. If we're reading the Scriptures, as we ought to, and that doesn't mean, you have to just be reading them, every moment of the day. But if we're taking some time, daily or, at least every couple of days or something along that line, if we're taking the time and we're reading some Scripture, we're going to come across, if you're just reading through Scripture, you're going to come across several times, things like there in Ephesians 5:18, and everything be thankful. And so as Christians, we're going to be reminded of that much more even, than other people. And so I'm concerned with the practice of Thanksgiving in our life and not just you know, that one day. Well, yeah, we gave thanks. We remembered all of our, you know, blessings and all that, and we'll do all that again next year. But, you see, that's not, as Christians, what I'm concerned with is us making sure we do it on Thanksgiving Day. But in everything, you know, giving thanks. And so, I think that it might help us to look at this in the sense of not only as, you know, a command, as something that God says, well, this you do, thou shalt give thanks, thou shalt be thankful, you know. And if you've ever, you know, had a little child and, you know, and they have, you know, received something from someone and you go, now, what do you say, Johnny? You know, what? And they're, huh? You know, you tell them thank you. Oh, yeah, okay, thank you, you know. Just forcing someone to do that, just commanding someone to do that, doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be gratitude of heart, does it? And that someone's actually going to be, you know, grateful and thankful for that. So what I'd like for us to think about this morning, there are three things I'd like for us to think about, and that is the perspective that Thanksgiving, not the day of Thanksgiving, but I mean giving thanks, gives us. You know, God commands us to do these things, not just because He's going, okay, now, you know, here's something that's proper and here's something good. So, Johnny, you say thank you. And you just learn the habit of saying thank you. It's not a bad habit. But what is God wanting us to receive from that? Are there some things that God wants us to benefit from that? And so, giving thanks helps with our perspective. Seeing things. See, I'm standing up here and you see me and you can see a lot. Well, I can see you too. And I look out here and I go, wow, you know, this is a good-looking group of people. I wonder if, no, it couldn't be. I don't think there's probably a better-looking group of people, you know, meeting anywhere in Huntington Beach, maybe in all of, you know, Los Angeles, you know, metropolitan area. You guys look so good from up here. But maybe, yeah, I get down here. Yeah, I get it. And I can see you a little differently than I saw you from up there. Up there, I was looking down on the tops of your heads. And, man, you look just as good down here, though. But you still, I'm seeing you a little differently, you see. And you're seeing me a little differently as well, aren't you? And so you can see, you know, me from a different angle, perspective, you know, from a different direction, from a different position, physically. And so, you know, that's what we're hoping that this idea of Thanksgiving does for us. And that is that it gives us perspective on certain things about life, you see. And so three perspectives that I'd like for us to consider. And as we look at Thanksgiving, it improves our perspective. I want us to think about this. It improves our perspective about ourselves and others. All right? And so it's not just about us, but it's also about, you know, other people. And so what would that be? Well, it could be many things, but the thing that I'd like for us to consider is that we are not self-sufficient. When you tell someone thank you, you realize that you have just received some benefit from them, you see. Some blessing. You have received something that you didn't have prior to that. You have been able to recognize in your life that you did not have this without them providing it for you, you see. And so we find that saying thank you, acknowledges that we're not self-sufficient. I lived in New Mexico for 13 years, and New Mexicans are kind of like West Texans and a lot of other places. But New Mexico was interesting because I was noticing something over the years different about kind of the attitude. You know, Californians, you know, as kind of as a whole, they have a certain attitude. And the Midwesterners, you know, they have us. Well, New Mexicans also have kind of, you know, this certain attitude. And I was thinking about that. I was contemplating on it at one time. And they're good people. They're fine people. They're kind people. But they're independent people. I'm telling you. I have not lived in a place as far as, you know, a large geographical area like New Mexico where you just kind of have this, you know, this societal attitude of, hey, we can survive. We're out here on our own. We can do this by ourselves. And you know, this kind of strong, independent, you know, type of attitude. And I don't really need anyone else. You know what we lived through, you know, 25 years ago, 50 years ago? You know what it took for our forefathers, you know, to settle this land and for those then that have been here for generations and generations and generations? And I just haven't seen it, you know, to the degree that I... And so I found that they were really independent kind of people. Just kind of as a whole, not, you know, not just... Everyone, I realize there are exceptions and such. But even they have a dependency to a degree upon someone else provides something for them that they haven't been able necessarily to provide for themselves. They receive some benefit. And so at Thanksgiving, when we say thank you, we are saying, you know what? I didn't have that before. You know us well. I like that. I like this. Something else that I get to thinking about myself is, wow, I've been missing out on this. Or a recognition that I wasn't able to do all of this, you know, necessarily on my own. And so we find it helps improve our perspective about ourselves and others, which can help us think about people who are our friends in life. God gives us friends. God provides friends. We have these, you know, in our life. And have we thought about, you know, what it is that someone just in a friendship provides for us? You know, the camaraderie, the closeness of relationships, someone to confide in, someone to talk to. You know, even these strong, independent New Mexicans, if they don't find somebody to talk to pretty soon, after a while, they can go out here and they can live out here, you know, in the desert or up in the wilderness of the mountains, you know, and they can live there for some time. But if they don't have somebody to talk to, you know what they're doing? Well, pretty soon they're talking to themselves. And if they do that long enough, they answer themselves, you know, as well. And so we can look at that and go, yeah, you know what? God has provided us something here as to have friends. That is something. Co-workers. You know, I've known people that, I tell you, I work with the dumbest people. I tell you that they are the hardest people to work with. I'm telling you, I can't believe that I'm stuck with these people. You know, and hey, I understand. No, I don't. Not in preaching, I don't. Don't. I've worked a lot of secular jobs too. So, but you know what Thanksgiving does is it helps us to understand and go, well, you know what? Without them, I couldn't do all of this. They help me carry this burden of this job that I need to get done. They provide, even if they're not just really efficient in it, they still provide, you know, a piece of the puzzle that I can use, that I need, and helps me accomplish that. And so, you know, we can even be grateful for, you know, some of the dumbest people, you know, that's ever worked a job, you know, because they will provide something. And of course, family. You know, one of the things that's always kind of the big joke about Thanksgiving as well as other holidays is what? You got to spend it with family. right? You know, and that crazy Uncle Joe, you know. And, yeah, I know, I heard that a lot. And I just figured they're talking generically, you know, Joe, you know, wasn't necessarily me. But, you know, we always have these crazy, you know, these crazy family members. But yet, you know, people that love us in spite of our own selves, you know, love us even though that we are crazy. Joe, you're crazy, but, you know, we love you anyway, type thing. Well, that's something I couldn't get without having family. And, of course, then we bring that into the realm of a spiritual family. Spiritual co-workers, you know, spiritual friends. And so to be thankful, to give God thanks and to think about thanksgiving and to be thankful and to thank one another is to say, you know what? You supply something in my life that I wouldn't have without you. And that's a blessing. That's a benefit. That you know, adds something, you know, to my life. Over in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, the apostle said, "For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established." Paul says, I think I have something to give to you. I think I have something that will be beneficial to you. We talked about, you know, Abraham Lincoln said, you know, that we have benefited from our God. You know, a beneficent God who benefits us, you know, with things. And so Paul says, I think I can be a benefit. I can help you to become even more established. Okay? And then verse 12 he says, that is that I with you may be comforted in you. And each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. So Paul says, I think I have something that I can give to you. I think I have something I can offer to you that will benefit you. But he says, I know that you have something that benefits me. And so he says, so I am looking at this in the way that, well, I benefit you, you benefit me, we benefit one another. There are some good things that come, you know, from this. And so Paul says, I want to come and be with you. You know, I want to, you know, physically be in your presence. I think that this could be beneficial. Over in the 15th chapter of Romans, verse 30 beginning, he says, I thought that looked strange because that was the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 15th chapter of Romans, verse 30, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Paul says, I need you to be praying to God for me on my behalf. Paul says, I'm praying for myself, but I want you to join together with me and strive in these prayers to God, that I may be delivered from them that are disobedient in Judea, and that my ministration which I have for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Okay? That's a request of a prayer that he makes there, and that, you know, I might be delivered. And so I ask you to pray for me on that, and that what I'm bringing as this gift of the collection of all these saints throughout all these cities that Paul's traveling through as he goes there, that might be well received. Now, that was probably well received. We don't know, you know, for sure, because we don't have an example where the brethren there in Jerusalem were like, wow, that is so great. We thank you for, you know, bringing us, you know, we're grateful for, you know, our Gentile brethren as well as our Hellenistic Jewish brethren, you know, in other areas, you know, that have been mindful of us and sent this money, you know, to help us during, you know, this hard time here back home. But we do know the other one, and that is, as Paul said, I prayed to be delivered. And he wasn't, was he? Or was he? Well, now, he got beat up, and he got in prison, and he got jailed, didn't he? I don't know for sure if that's what he had in mind when he said, deliver me, or if he just meant, you know, just get me out of there alive. But he got out of there alive. But he didn't get out of there easily, did he? And so we might go, well, was the prayer answered? Well, we know from this time on Paul remained faithful, so apparently at least he's looked at that as saying, okay, I maybe didn't get it just exactly the way I wanted it, but I'm grateful that you prayed for me, and I'm grateful that God has spared me so I can continue on, you know, in this work, you know, that he does. And we know that attitude from Philippians. But anyway, so I wonder without their prayers, if he would have said, that's it? I'm done with it? No more of this? Forget it? I come back here. These people ought to understand. They ought to know. They're the ones that sent me out there to go and arrest these Christians. And I tried to explain to them how that I saw the Lord on the road. And you know me. You know that I was dead set against them in this way. And I was imprisoning them. You know that I thought this was blasphemous. I mean, doesn't it open your eyes at all that, you know, what I, you know, that I'm telling you that I've, you know, what I've witnessed and what's happened to me and that you ought to believe this? But no, what do? You arrest me and you beat me and you want to stone me. You want to put me to death and people take a vow, you know, and they're not even going to eat, you know, until I die and things like that. And he could have just easily. And maybe he would have if they hadn't striven with him in his prayers. Even though that wasn't his specific prayer, but he was delivered just not, you know, without consequence, just not without things being difficult, things being hard. And then he says, that I may come unto you in joy through the will of God, and together with you find rest. And together with you find rest. Well, we also know he didn't get to go to Rome at that particular time, did he, either? Well, within a couple of years he got to go to Rome, but it wasn't in peace for him, was it? But he said, when I do get there, I'll find rest. You see, it helps with our perspective on things, hopefully. And you just move that into with God as well. How's our fellowship? How's our relationship with God? Well, Thanksgiving helps us, you know, with that. So we find as well then, it helps us to wonder some things about things. And that is that lest when you have all these herds, lest when you have these houses, lest when you have all this food, lest when life is great and wonderful and you have all of these things, you forget me, God says. But you see, Thanksgiving helps us to understand that we're merely stewards. Well, what does that mean? Well, we understand that means that all of these things that we have are actually someone else's. And we're just getting to use them for a while. They are just things that we get to have our life blessed and benefited. And so whose are they then? If they're not really ours, they're not yours, right? I'm not living in your house, right? You know, I'm not driving your car, right? You know, I'm living in my, you're not living in my house, right? You're not driving my car, right? See, you get. So whose are these things, Joe? Well, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. When he talks about using hospitality and not murmuring and using ministry aids one another. He says, verse 10, according as each hath received a gift, ministering among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's what God was telling Israel. He said, you get there. He says, I've told you. I've got this land waiting for you. It's a great land. It's wonderful. I mean, it flows with milk and honey. Wow, milk and honey. I kind of like milk and honey, don't you? And you get there and you go, well, the rivers are just, what? But man, look at the nice, clean, clear waters. They're irrigating the land. They're feeding the land. Look at the crops on this land. Look at the fruits on these trees. Look at the grapes on these vines. Man, nowhere else are they this great and this wonderful. God says, yeah, I've given that to you. And I've given you the houses. And I've given, you know. And so we see that when we turn around and go, well, thank you, that we're recognizing things are just in our possession to use for a while, that they actually belong to someone else, that they belong to God. And so you see, Thanksgiving can help us with that perspective, to see that in that way. And hopefully then it would cause us, you know, to count our blessings. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift. And so, no wonder he says, in everything give thanks. Why? Because every good gift. Oh, so we ought to be thankful for each and every little thing even, right? Large and big thing. Every good and perfect gift. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29. He says, for the gifts and the calling of God are not repented of. That's a statement about one particular thing, but it's a general truth. He's taking a general truth here and he's applying it about one specific thing. And that is that when the Jews rejected as a whole the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they even persecuted his people and they sent him out, God could go, well, why did I even do that? Why did I even raise Abraham up? Why did I even give him children? Why did I give his son to have 12 sons? And why did I divide them into tribes? And why did I bless them? And why did I give them this good land? And why did I even bring my Christ through them? I could have done that through anyone. And he could have, didn't he? But he says, God doesn't repent of the gifts he's given. They maybe don't always come out even the way that God would hope that they would, even though he knows how it's all going to come out. But he says, no, he's not going to change that. You see, he says, the graces of God, God doesn't regret ever giving you. Isn't that powerful? If God doesn't regret giving us his favors and his graces, even when we don't give him thanks for it, even when we don't recognize him in it, still like God's going, well, I did the right thing. I did the good thing. I was good by you. On the day of judgment, you won't be able to say, well, you didn't love me, God. You won't be able to say, well, you didn't bring the good news to me, God. You know, there's a lot of things we could go, well, you didn't. And God says, yes, I did. And I don't regret it, even though you turned your back on it. Even though you snubbed it. God says it's the right thing to do. And so, you see, if we can look at things as being God's, and they are every good thing, then doesn't that change our perspective on things? And so if we can just see that, then be mindful of it, then you see, that's what giving thanks, being grateful for does. It helps us not to be covetous. Over in Luke chapter 12, you remember when the man said to Jesus, hey, Jesus, would you tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me? And, you know, that's where Jesus said, that's Luke 12, beginning at verse 13 and 14, Jesus said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then he said unto them, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. You see, both of those boys had a problem. The one that he wouldn't share his inheritance with his brother, he wouldn't do what was, you know, the right thing about it, probably the older brother, and thus has control of the inheritance and certainly has right to, you know, the greater percentage of it, as well as the blessing, you know, of the headship of family. But he says, if you're just so consumed with that, you know, to the younger brother, he says, in some senses, you're not even better. You're coveting as well that. And he says, and life's so much more than that. So much more than the things that you possess. So you see, being grateful for what we have. So, you know, we entered into this world with nothing, and that's how we're kind of going to go out. So he says, you know, learning to be grateful for the things you have. We have some other scriptures along that line, but hey, I took too much time in the first ones. So anyway, you get the point. And so Thanksgiving improves our perspective as well about God. Saying thank you should cause us to realize that God is the giver of those. We saw where everything, you know, we give thanks for every good gift. Well, where do those every good gifts come from? And so he says they come from above, don't they? From the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation, nor is there a shadow that's cast by any kind of turning. In other words, it's still going to come, just as we just saw. God's not going to repent of it. God's going to give us these favors. And He's not going to be remorseful of it. And so he says, okay. Now he might grieve and be remorse that you don't accept him, but he's still going to give. And so that tells us something about our God. And when we recognize that, we say thank you, God, then hopefully that improves our perspective on God and who He is and what He really does for us. You know, Jesus so often referred to God as Father, and not just His Father. He referred to Him as His Father. He said, my Father and I see. But he also said, I came so that you could see the Father. And he said, when you pray, you say what? Our Father who art in heaven. And Jesus said, and the Gentiles, they worry about these things because they see themselves as orphans. They don't see that they have a Father in heaven, you see. But you have a Father who knows, Jesus says, that you need these things. And so being thankful, having a thankful attitude, an attitude of gratefulness, helps us to understand God is our Father. And like Jesus said, He says, what father gives his son, you know? And He says, and so if you being evil know how to give good things, how much more do you think your Father who is in heaven? Wow. And Jesus, our Savior, who lowered Himself to become our brother, and yet He's still God. This is the God that provides many of these blessings that we're talking about, these every spiritual blessings. And so we have Jesus to be our Savior. The Holy Spirit of the Godhead is our comforter and our guide. He has brought the Word and He has recorded it and has been kept through the ages so that we can have the same comfort and benefit from the mind of God as being breathed by the Holy Spirit as those in the first century. And God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ, and the church, the recipient of every spiritual blessing, because it's in Christ, and every spiritual blessing is in Christ, you see. And it's His body, the church, which He is the head of. And so as the apostle says, so what man of you doesn't nourish and cherish his own body? And so you see, we're among the most blessed people that are upon the face of the earth, because he nourishes and cherishes his own body. As the apostle said in 2 Corinthians 1:20, as many are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore, he is our amen to the glory of God through us. So whatever God's promised, he's going to do. He will do. He has done. Time after time, the Scriptures lay out for us what God has done for us to remind us. There's many passages we could look at. Over in Romans chapter 6, I'll just give you this from verse 17 and 18. He says, but thanks be to God. You see, how many times does the apostle say that? Thanks be to God throughout his writings. Because he recognized that it's about God. God's the giver. God's the one who benefits us. God's the one who provides, you know, all of these blessings. And so what is one of those? He's just going to enumerate one. But he says, but thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto. Wait a minute. He's saying you did this, right? You became obedient. And he's thanking God for your obedience. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. And you can only get that from God. So thanks be to God. Even in our anxieties, thanksgiving helps us. Over in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, giving thanks unto God by prayer and supplication. You let your requests be known unto God. In everything, being thankful to God, even in our... And so, we see here that our anxieties are even addressed by God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. No wonder the apostle said, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, as we began, in everything give thanks to God, for that is His will through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, it's a few days after Thanksgiving. We're following Thanksgiving. Oh, wait, that means what? That it just reminds us now to be thankful for a whole another year. And then, Lord willing, possibly we will get another Thanksgiving next year. Wonderful time, a wonderful day. But it's just one of many in the presence and the blessings of God. Well, if in any way this morning you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, thankfully you have this opportunity. One more. If you've been passing it up, you have one more opportunity. Oh, I know there may be others, but you have it now. We know that we do. And so thankfully we do. We won't always. Someday the opportunities will cease. But thankfully, we can today. And so if you're subject to that invitation anyway, we encourage you to come as we stand.